This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about the communication barrier between humans and other species. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Many scientists are trying to get a deeper understanding of how animals communicate, and they now have a new tool at their disposal, AI and machine learning algorithms. What kind of difference is that making? Alan Yu reports.
Behavioral ecologist Jacqueline Aubin has studied beluga whales in Quebec's St. Lawrence estuary for years. These are the plump white whales. They are bigger than dolphins, smaller than killer whales. They communicate using whistles, calls, and clicks. On research days, Jacqueline puts an underwater microphone in the river to listen to their communication.
Belugas are a very vocal species. They're often called the sea canaries because of how loquacious and vocal they are.
The St. Lawrence River is huge, with busy shipping lanes running between Canada and the U.S. Jacqueline's goal is to understand which areas are important to the belugas, so they can tell the shipping companies where to consider setting aside quiet zones. But to get to that point, Jacqueline has to evaluate a lot of beluga sound recordings.
What I was doing in the lab was I was sitting at my computer and I was scrolling through hundreds and thousands of hours of recordings. My eyes would get very tired and I wasn't able to focus on the screen that long.
She is looking for specific calls that the belugas use to communicate with each other.
So it's a call that has two components. So the animal is producing two sounds at the same time. One of the components that's always the same across all individuals is a series of very fast pulses that the animal is producing. So it kind of sounds like a creaky door, like. So that's one component of that call. The other component of the call is often going to be a whistle.
That second part, the whistle, is unique to each beluga. Here are two different belugas doing their whistle part in their own way. Jacqueline studied this audio manually for a year, and then one of her collaborators put her in touch with a computer scientist. They turned to machine learning, which is a specific form of artificial intelligence. They trained a model so that a computer could scroll through all of that audio and flag the interesting bits.
Which really ramped up the process and allowed me to process so many more hours of recordings. Really like a mind-blowing amount of progress.
Being able to process the data so quickly meant that Jacqueline could more easily connect the underwater audio of the calls to video recordings that show her what the belugas are doing when they make a specific call. She basically went from studying silent movies of belugas shot from a drone to having videos where she can tell what is happening at the time of a particular call made underwater. She still cannot tell you what exactly the belugas are saying, but she does know what some specific calls are used for. For instance, she has learned that beluga mothers will use a contact call to get a curious calf to return to her side.
You know, if you're just watching from the drone, you don't really have a great understanding of what happened there. Did the calf get scared by something? Or did the calf just decide it was time to go see mom again? But if we're listening, what we'll often hear is that before the calf goes to rejoin the mother will emit a call that is essentially telling the calf, hey, come back over here, you're a bit too far. And then the calf will go back towards the mother.
AI, specifically machine learning, has led to similar kinds of breakthroughs in studying sperm whales. These are the largest toothed whales. Sperm whales can dive deeper than nuclear submarines and can live for as long as 70 to 90 years. They are also social animals. Whale biologist Shane Garrow has studied a particular group of 35 sperm whale families in the Caribbean for almost 20 years. He and his collaborators have gotten to know these whales so well, they have named most of them.
And we don't do this flippantly. It makes an important point about who they are. Using names is sort of a shortcut, a reminder that actually each individual is different. And we've shown that their behavior is different. The sounds they make can be different. How they swim or how deep they go can be different. At first, that kind of seems surprising. But when you think about it, these are large, big-brained, long-lived animals like us.
Shane says scientists have long realized that whales are communicating with each other in sophisticated ways. He has been recording these whale families for years, but recently he worked with a group of computer scientists to study this trove of audio in new ways with the help of machine learning. Here's how he explains it. Imagine an alien who does not understand human speech puts a microphone in the middle of a coffee shop.
You're going to collect multiple conversations at the same time. You're going to collect all the barista noise and the ding of the bell when the door gets opened. You're going to record all of that stuff. And you're not going to know if any of it is the language or not.
Maybe there are a few words everybody is saying, like coffee or milk. But who is talking to whom? Are they all talking to each other?
If you have three tables in the coffee shop, and it's two, two, and two people, is that one conversation of six? Or is it three conversations of two? So it's not just separating the sound and applying that sound to each individual. It's also trying to figure out when multiple conversations are happening at the same time, who is talking to who? Like, who's the signaler and who's the receiver?
Using an algorithm to go through the data allowed them to analyze their materials on a much deeper level. Specifically, how whales communicate different concepts. Humans combine words in different orders with different tones to change the meaning of what they say to each other. You can say, "I'm fine," and mean it, or say, "I'm fine," and those two sentences mean different things. Sperm whales vary the rhythm, tempo, and duration of their clicks in a similar way. And computer scientist Pratyusha Sharma says this insight has transformed the way that scientists understand sperm whale communication. She worked on this with Shane. It's called Project SETI, spelled C-E-T-I, not to be confused with SETI, spelled S-E-T-I, which is about alien intelligence. Anyway, back to the whales.
They're hieroglyphics, right, where every symbol represents a certain meaning. And there's the alphabet system, where every word is assembled by stringing together a set of alphabets. And you can combine these alphabets in many different ways to convey many different types of meanings, right?
Like, you can combine the letters A, E, S, and T to say seat or eats. Pratyusha says scientists now know that sperm whale clicks are more like an alphabet than they are like symbolic hieroglyphics. That means sperm whales can vary different parts of their calls to form a much larger variety of things to say to each other. This kind of system, a combinatorial system, is rare in nature.
Humans have a combinatorial communication system. Also, so do some primates, and bird songs have this combinatorial basis. And there needs to be like the right kind of communicative, environmental, and social pressures to even give rise to the system.
For biologist Shane Garrow, this is the kind of insight that makes AI really useful in his research.
It's not that we didn't have the data to ask that question. The technology, the method, made that a lot easier to ask. And we found something dramatically new.
Research like this excites animal behaviorist Khan Slobodchikov. He says this makes him think of another recent experiment where scientists played back the sound of humpback whale calls to a whale, and the whale responded.
And as we get better at it, and as our dictionary of animal signals gets better, we might be able to have much more sophisticated kinds of playbacks. So, for example, if we had a whale-human translator, we could potentially say something like, "How are you today?" And the translator would go, "Boom, boom, boom, boom." And the whale would respond, and the translator would say, "Just fine, how are you?" I mean, this is totally hypothetical, obviously, but I think that we're getting in the realm of possibility.
Kahn has dedicated much of his research to studying prairie dog calls. Now he is the chief scientist and founder of Zoolingua, a company working on a human-dog translation system. He says he cannot discuss details for now, but guesses that it is around 5 years away. However, neuroecologist Yossi Yovell says AI and the breakthroughs it has led to will not be able to break all the language barriers between humans and other animals. He studies communication in Egyptian fruit bats at Tel Aviv University in Israel. For example, human scientists can study animal behaviors in contexts we can see and understand, like fighting, eating, sleeping, mating, and so on. But what if the animals are behaving in ways that us humans cannot even imagine, because they are so different from what we can think of? For instance, sperm whales and belugas navigate the world using clicks. Most humans cannot picture what it would look like to navigate the world entirely using sound rather than sight.
These are barriers that will not be crossed. I think that it's still very, very interesting to see how far we get. Okay, I don't think we've reached a dead end. I do think machine learning will allow us to take things further, but I think these obstacles are fundamental.
But being able to talk to animals is not really the point of the research for Shane Garrow. He says the point is to understand what is important in the whale's world so that humans can change our behavior accordingly. He refers to a quote from writer Cormac McCarthy, who was a friend of famous humpback whale researcher Roger Payne.
He has this great line in one of his books, which is, you know, what if God comes back and asks you if you figured it all out? And then before you can answer, said, hey, did you ever consider asking the whales? And then looked around and said, where have all the whales gone?
That story was reported by Alan Yu.